card. Please enter your account number.
This is a test. See if the...
For other cards, remember to enter square.
Hello?
Hello, Frank?
Yes?
Yes. I've been in touch with Chantal.
Oh, yes. I heard that you gave her a call.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, it concerns the program that you've made.
Yeah, I gather you have a lot more important information.
Well, I mean, the stuff that you put out the other night was not.
Yeah.
Right? And, but you understand the situation. It's very dangerous.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
And I don't want to talk on the phone.
Okay. Where could we meet that is safe?
You say somewhere.
Well, are you in Derry or Belfast?
Belfast.
You're in Belfast. Well, I would rather, if you think it's okay, meet you in a secure place like this hotel. I'll stay on here and meet you here.
Mm-hmm.
That way, the security is good here. I'm not, therefore being lured into a place where I'm not certain of and, you know, I can be a target. So, you know, not saying you're not genuine, but we just have to both be careful.
No, I accept that. Why I'm asking for you to make, for to suggest a place.
Well, do you want to come here to the Culloden then?
Aye.
So I'll just stay on here. What time can you be here?
It'd be a time that there wouldn't be many people about there. What would you suggest a time there now? What, 7, 8 o'clock, something like that?
Yeah, that will suit me fine. Whenever you can get here, really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we'll go into a private room. You know, there won't be any people overhearing and milling about.
Yeah, no, I accept that, but, would there be any, would I have to go into the Culloden to meet you? There wouldn't be another entrance for you to take me in or something like that?
Well, so you're not seen by anybody?
Yeah.
It's not possible in that sense, because they do have a security system here.
Right.
And you have to go through the lodge where they make sure that, you know, it's a secure situation. You're not going to come in and burglarize the place or do anything nasty. So they have a permanent sort of security system where you have to go through a gate and be kind of be checked in.
Yes, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? Because then you have to give your name and address and you're probably...
No, you don't. You don't have to do that. I can vouch for you. I can be up at the entrance and meet you. And they know who I am, and that I am, you know, a guest, and we've been here before.
Did they know who you represent?
Sort of vaguely, yeah.
Would there be nowhere else we could meet in that area?
I'm not familiar with the area.
Aye.
So I could just say you're one of my associates. I wouldn't even have to give you a name.
No, yeah. But it's just in case there'd be somebody working in that place, you know,
they
would maybe recognize me. That's the problem.
Difficult.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Well, there's a car park outside. Do you know the Culloden at all?
I just know the main entrance.
Yeah, well, in that, where you could turn in, there is an outside car park.
Right.
I could move my car out into the car park and you could wait, we could sit in the car and talk.
Right.
And that way you wouldn't have to come into the grounds or be seen by anybody.
Right. That would be lovely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that at 7 o'clock if you can.
Right. I'd be there at spot on 7 o'clock.
Right. Let me give you the details of the car. It's a grey Peugeot. I'll just try and get the number. Hold on, I've got a car key somewhere and it'll tell me the number on it. It's a great pleasure. B-A-Z.
Right.
Just remember Baz.
Right. That's lovely.
You'll know it.
I'll be looking for you.
Yeah.
Right.
What sort of stuff do you, I mean, can I give my boss some idea of what we might be on to here?
Yeah, what he actually does.
Yeah.
See the person he has had on. He's got the theme of it wrong.
Mm.
Right? But I'll actually explain to you what he actually does.
Yeah.
On his power and everything else.
Is it worse than what we said?
Yes.
And can we prove it? Will you?
Well, I don't know now, you see, that's a problem.
Yeah, will we be able to, if he points us in the direction, will we be able to go off and get some of this stuff on screen, so to speak, to, you know, to actually get it out?
I'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
If I explain the thing to you, and maybe we'll talk for a bit, you may then come up with something.
Right, okay. All right, so what will I call you, John or Jack or...?
Jack.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know I'm Frank then.
Right.
So I'll see you at 7 out in the open car park.
That'll do lovely.
Okay.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Hello, thank you, you're Jack.
Yes.
Come in.
You've got the window.
Have you a car over here?
Just in case two people turned up, that was all. We took some advice.
Okay.
You know, if a couple of lads turned up, not you know, to lock the doors and piss off quick. That's just my boss over there making sure I'm not in.
He's not photographing
anything. No, he's not. I can ring him and call him off if you like.
Ah, would you please?
Yeah, yeah. Look, he's got his mobile phone. Oh, is that the phone in the room? Oh, is that right? All right, I was after someone else. Okay, bye.
Oh, poor Derek. You can tell him to come over if you want, like.
Yeah, I will. If you're okay. He's the producer of the program.
See the thing you were putting across the other night in the program that he was in charge of the RA? He's not as such, right? It's a technical thing, right? The RA is actually split into two. There's a Northern Command and a Southern Command, right? He's in charge of Northern Command, right?
Mm.
He's a Northern Command OC, right? There's a Southern Command, but it has nothing to do with the Northern Command. The Northern Command basically takes in the nine counties of Ulster, right? He controls all of that. He's also in the RA Army Council.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a 5-man Army Council. He's one of them. Right? Nothing happens in the Northern Command area that he doesn't okay.
Yeah.
And I mean nothing. Now, he's nothing to do with England. See what happens in England? He's nothing whatsoever to do with that.
So,
the person that controls England is a South Armagh fella.
Yeah.
Right?
I was going to ask you, we sort of did the emotive thing and said, you know, who could organise things like Warrington?
Mm.
And then said it's people like Martin McGuinness.
Mm.
So who would be responsible for Warrington?
A fellow called Tommy Murphy from South Armagh in Colville. He actually controls all aspects of what happens in England and on the continent.
Mm.
Him and a guy called Tommy Keenan. Tommy Keenan's an ex-Belfast fella now living in Carlingford. Right? They are the people who control what happens in England.
Mm. Right. Mm. Does McGuinness have anything to do with that, though?
Well, he would have an input,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Right? Plus, see...
So we weren't exactly wrong.
I mean
he's involved.
Well, I mean, yes. Well, I mean, he's involved as such that he's an RA man.
Yeah.
And he's on the council.
Yeah, oh, he's in the area. So, so they have to give the go ahead for what happens in England.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. It's ringing. It's quite good. Clive, it's okay. He spotted you. You're such deep cover, you were sus straight away. Now, there's no problem, as you can see, and you're quite happy to come and sit in the car and we'll have a proper chat. Cheers. Well, you may as well save the rest till Clive gets here.
Basically, see the programme itself, it didn't go deeply enough, right? Now, if you want to take in Martin McGuinness, you have to take in a couple of other people.
Yeah, that was one of the problems, that we have a lot of evidence on people like Hugh Brady and so on.
No, not Hugh Brady. I'm talking about the likes of a guy called Spike Martin.
Well, Clive's been doing this sort of stuff for 20-odd years, right. So where those names wouldn't particularly mean much to me, Clive will know.
Okay.
I don't know why the doors are locked.
It's not 11.
It must be child lock, Clive. Must be child locked, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
This is Clive.
Hello, Jack.
Okay,
Jack.
Yeah. Clive's the senior producer on this programme. Clive's been here a long time.
You're a bit being cautious there.
Oh, no. What Jack was saying.
And yous will do that, like it also.
Yeah, well,
you were just worried we were taking pictures, which we weren't.
No, I thought that.
We're really interested in moving pictures if we're doing something like this. What Jack was just saying is that there are other men, not the Hugh Brady's, that
are equally, you know what I mean?
Top guns like McGuinness.
No. I was explaining. What's your first name, Frank? I was explaining to Frank that McGuinness is on the RA Army Council, right?
Yep.
He also controls the Northern Command, which takes in the nine counties of Ulster.
Right.
That was formed in 1977 by Ever Bell.
That's right.
Split Northern Southern Command. Right. There's a five-man Army Council which McGuinness is part of. Right. Nothing happens in Northern Command that McGuinness doesn't okay. But there's another person there too who's sort of, I would say, more military involved in the Northern Command. He's his adjutant, a fellow called Sean Spike Murray from Beechmead. Do you know him?
You know him,
right. Anything that would happen, Murray would have the say-so, would okay it with McGuinness. He meets McGuinness about once, twice a week in Belfast, right? This is a regular arrangement, right? McGuinness would come into Belfast. Used to be, he'd come into Belfast on Tuesday, right? Every week, he stayed for 2 days. Him and Murray would do what they have to do, right? But what they've basically done is, they've cut up the Northern Command area, right? Murray's more or less looking after Belfast.
Since Danny Morrison went there, or before?
No, Danny Morrison had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Nothing to do with it. He was Director of Publicity, but he was also in the RA Army Council. But he knew balls, right? That's basically, right?
Right.
He was a pen pusher, if you want to put it that way, right? Murray, since he came out of jail, he's out of jail about 7 years, right? He's adjutant of the Northern Command, right? Operates under McGuinness. He more or less controls down Armagh, Tyrone. They've sort of broken up into two areas of Northern Command, where McGuinness would sort of look up off the top half.
Do you mind if I get some notes?
No, it's okay. Derry, Donegal.
Tony's book, right?
Yeah, if you've got a book. Well, do you want to make the notes while we talk?
No.
Right.
He wrote the notes. It's at the right page.
It's at the right page?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, go on, sorry.
Right. Sorry, what were you saying about who controls what?
They've more or less split up the Northern Command area into two, right? It's to facilitate the both of them, right? Because McGuinness, obviously from Derry, looks after Derry, Donegal, right? That type
so, Northern Command consists of how many? Nine counties?
Nine counties, right. You have the six counties of Northern Ireland, plus you've Donegal, you've, I'll just tell you, you've Donegal, Cavan, and Monaghan. Sorry, you've more than nine counties. Sorry, it actually takes in 12 counties, because you've Louth, you've Leitrim. That's 11, isn't it? And Louth, Leitrim. It actually takes in 12 counties.
Right. Right. So right. McGuinness is overall control of Northern Command?
He is a Northern Command OC.
Yeah, right.
Now, it was talked about that McGuinness...
Well, I don't think Clive was here when you said he's on the Army Council.
No, there's a five-man Army Council and he's one of them. Adams is another.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now, he wouldn't be responsible for English operations, but he would be part of the team that sanctions them.
Exactly. Well, that is the point you were making.
Well, you see, what happens is, right, I'll explain the situation to you, right. The RA Army Council would meet and say, right, this is what we think our strategy should be for next year.
Right. Yeah.
We'll have to do this, blah, blah, blah. We think there should be a bombing campaign in England. We think the operations should be concentrated in England or the continent or whatever, right?
Mm.
That then filters down to the people who control that. Who I told you is Tommy Murphy and a fella called Tommy Keenan, right? Who's living in Carlingford at the minute, right? He moved out of Belfast.
Tommy Keenan. Any relation to Brian?
No. Brian has another brother, Sean, who's right. Involved in the area, right? Who's actually a technical officer, right?
Yeah.
They're the ones that actually control things like that, operations in England, right? Yeah. When I see that guy, Rob Friars, that was caught in England with a bomb about 6-7 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we was caught at the bus stop in London.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
They're called
MI5
operation.
Yeah. Cannon fodder, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a big mate of this guy, Sean Murray, Speke Murray, right? And it was actually Speke Murray who recommended him for the England thing to Tommy Murphy. Because Murray moves in and out of that South Armour area a lot, right? See if they're doing any interrogations of so-called informers, that's what they're doing in that area. Mostly.
In Armagh?
No, South Armagh.
South Armagh?
Yes. If the likes of Derry people, that would be done in Donegal, but it would be the same team that would do the whole lot, right? They have what's called a Northern Command Security Team, right?
Yeah.
And it's under the control of Speke Murray,
right?
Oh. And they're the ones that do that type of thing. So as I was trying to explain to you, by just saying McGuinness, I don't think you went deeply enough into it, you know what I mean?
Well, it was one of the difficulties. We had other people in the frame, but you know, in TV terms, it gets very confusing to the viewer.
Mm.
So we, in the end, took the decision just to concentrate on that one man because of the hypocrisy of the political situation, where our top politicians know that Sinn Féin is just a charade for the provisionals.
Yeah. That's right.
So, and you have to say the resulting furore of publicity and debate.
Oh, done no harm.
It's helped, hasn't it?
Oh, done no harm, you know what I mean? No harm and exposed him for what he is.
Yeah.
And see that woman that came on, and she was writing what you say, like he is an evil person.
Yeah.
Because he gave the go ahead for Frank Haggerty, right?
Mm.
Frank Haggerty.
Can I ask you how you know that, Jim?
Oh.
No, I mean, we're talking between a cat.
I know. But...
You know. We talked to a lot of people who have been very trusting with us, as you can see from the nature of the program. I'm not trying to trap you or whatever. The only reason I ask you is because we only put part of what he did there. We didn't
Well, I'll tell you what I know about it, right?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
McGuinness was on the phone to Frank Haggerty when he was in England.
That's right, from Mrs. Haggerty.
Haggerty, you see, there was weapons caught in Donegal. There was 150 rifles caught.
That's right.
Right. Haggerty was the one that... give the information on that.
That's right.
Right. He was then taken out, right, brought to England, right, and he missed his common law wife. Right.
That's right.
Okay. So he kept phoning back. So McGuinness got on the phone and says, I'm lucky, it'll be okay, blah, blah, blah. Convinced him that he'd be okay and convinced him of it, right. He then came home and McGuinness was the instrument of him being taken away and shot.
That's right. But, I mean, do you know that story? Because we know it because the family told it. I mean, do you know it because McGuinness told you?
Well, I know it because, if we want to be straight here, I was at the heart of things for a long time, right?
Right.
Right. I'm no longer at the heart of things, right? I haven't been for a few, 2 or 3 years, right? But I know what I'm talking about, right?
How close, you say at the heart of it, how close were you to McGuinness?
Well, let's say I served on the same thing that he's on.
The Army Council?
No.
mind.
No, I'll come out.
Yeah.
Right. I'm an idiot, you know, I just want to know your SP.
Yeah.
All right.
So, were you part of the decision team to get Haggerty there?
No. You see, that's a totally different thing. You see, you have to realise that the workings of the IRA and know what happens, right?
You were on the Army Council representing Belfast at the time?
No, I wasn't on the Army Council.
Sorry, I mean the Northern Command representing Belfast.
No, it doesn't operate that way.
Right.
It operates that the people that they feel can do the job, they have them there, right? It doesn't matter whether you're from Timbuktu, Belfast or whatever. If they feel that you're capable of doing a certain job, you're there.
Right.
And
what was your talent then? What was
all that? No.
It's early days, Frank.
Let's
hope this is beginning to be a long, fruitful relationship.
You know. I'm just trying to let you know that I know what I'm talking about.
That's fine, Jack. Right. I mean, we're not trying to trip you up, but you don't know us. We don't know you.
Well, I know exactly, right. He's off the story.
You could be a plant. No, you could be a plant. You could be anything. You could be trying to set us up in any shape or form so that McGuinness can turn around and discredit us. That's why I ask you, for your bona fides.
Right.
People have, as you can say, as you can see from the program, we wish we'd had an hour because we have a lot of material and a lot of people have talked to us from all sorts of angles.
Right.
So it's nice to talk to somebody who's alongside. Did you meet him on a Tuesday with...
No,
when you came here and
I would have known... If I had a reason to meet him, I would have met him.
Right.
If I had no reason to meet him, I wouldn't.
How did you contact McGuinness? I mean, what is the way he stops the security forces listening to his phone? Does he have a way of... how's it done?
Well, say he's an arrangement to meet someone. Well, that arrangement stands. If you want to meet him, what you would have done was go up to Derry, right? Went to Sinn Féin Centre in Derry and get somebody to get him. Right? You wouldn't have talked in the Sinn Féin Centre in Derry because they think it's bugged.
Yeah.
Right? So you'd have went round to your house somewhere.
Same time.
Yes, in the bog side or something like that.
Right.
And talk there. That was the crack, right? They don't talk in the centres, right?
No, I'm sure.
Right. Now, they do a lot of business in their centres, but hard IRA business they don't do. Right. They do, if you want to talk, meet shop use, we're going on all stuff about kneecapping people and stuff like that, that's done in their centres, you know what I mean? But not actually going out to murder people and stuff like that, so that's never done
that. But the truth that they are interrogation centres, the Sinn Féin centres, and used for kneecappings and other things, and kangaroo courts.
Well, what would you say about kangaroo courts? Well, what do you mean by kangaroo court?
Well, what we would call a kangaroo court, which is not an official court, where people are having been...
Paul McGavin and Sandy was taken there and interrogated and beaten and held.
I would doubt now that that's true, of what he's saying. What could have happened was he was taken there initially.
Mm.
And then from there somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now they wouldn't interrogate him in that sense.
He wasn't held. He was taken there the second time he was taken there.
Right.
The first time he was actually taken to another house and bundled into the back of a car and stripped.
Right.
But he's not, as I said, he's not the only one that we've got talking to him about.
Well, that's when they have the standard procedure is to strip him and debug him.
Yeah.
Right, just to see if they're wired up or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they usually put a boiler suit on them, they're not dead.
Yeah.
Right? Put them in a chair facing a wall, right? And then go from there.
Yeah. Then go for the arms.
Well, now, see where people saying that they use a lot of violence? They don't really. Physical violence they don't use. Now, they use mental violence, obviously. You know?
It's become psychological.
Exactly. It's a psychological thing, you see. They get you into a room, they blindfold you, right? Strip you, they have you sitting there, right? Maybe the room's cold, they make you all sorts of promises, right? And everybody being what they are, everybody's a breaking point, you know? And they think they're going to go home, but they don't.
What is McGuinness up to at the moment, do you know?
Well, he's still the Northern Commando, see?
Right.
But this is what I was trying to explain, there was a decision taken 4 years ago that McGuinness was going to start step back from things,
from the military, say, and take a more political role.
Why was that?
Well, what was happening was Sinn Féin wasn't... See, the popularity it had, say, if you want to put it in the early 80s, right, it started to wane, right, and they were realising this. McGuinness, he's fairly popular in Derry, right, because he won the election up there and all that crap, right? So what they said it was that he should have a bigger role within Sinn Féin alongside Adams, right? Right. Try and get the Sinn Féin going, but G up into it, right? So this is what they were grooming your man Sean Murray to take over as OC of the Northern Command.
Right.
And what you basically see now is that Murray has more or less taken the reins of Northern Command.
Right.
And McGuinness has more or less stepped up. McGuinness has still the OK everything,
right?
But he's more or less stepped back and is more in a political role, but he's still in the IRA, deep there, you know, very deep.
Are you close enough this week to know what the reaction has been within those circles to the Cook Report?
In those circles?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to a couple of people today, but they wouldn't have no connection with McGuinness,
right?
And they're livid. Obviously, they're putting this thing out that it's British propaganda, blah, blah, blah. They have to do that, right?
Mm.
To try and discredit the Cook Report,
right?
But I think with Mrs. Haggerty,
I think it was all going to be Raymond Gilmore, because we leaked that to give them a bit of a false sense of security, and they thought that was just the old shit coming out.
Because Gilmore, you see, has been more or less discredited.
You
know what I mean? And
Gilmore, at his time, of course, was dealing with Duxie Doherty and not directly with McGuinness.
No.
And
see, Beano Casey really, he was only there a short way, right? He met McGuinness now and again, but not,
not everything.
No.
But, I mean, there were a lot of other people in there who were quite anonymous, who were certainly around when things happened.
Mm.
How long were you in the organisation, Jim?
22 years.
Bloody hell. And did you start as... You must have been a young man going back to early 1970s. Here in Belfast?
Well, actually 1969.
You started in 69?
Yeah.
Right. You were around on the 12th and 13th of
August? Oh, yeah.
So was I.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, right. We all did daft things up
the
time. The Crumlin, the Falls and the Bloody Shankill in those days.
Yes.
Happy day. Yeah. So you'd be quite a young man then?
Me?
Mm.
No, I'm not.
I said then.
In those days.
Were you about 23, 24?
You're getting rid of me bit by bit.
You could call it our very poor interrogation technique.
Yeah, right.
What? So you obviously rose up through the ranks.
Yes.
So were you side by side with McGuinness?
No. He's the type of person you don't get side by side with.
Right.
He's a very cold person.
So
he doesn't have friends within the IRA. He has what he calls comrades, but he doesn't have friends as such.
Right.
He frowns on womanizing. He frowns on drinking people and stuff like that. Right. A very moralistic person.
There's a suggestion that he has a drink problem because his wife seems to buy an awful lot of vodka each week.
I don't think it's him.
No,
I think it could be her.
Yeah, well, I've heard both ways. Both sides have suggested
that. Would be understandable.
That must be difficult to go to bed with a man who has so much blood on him.
Well, you see, the thing is, you see, these people live in England, you just don't realise. A lot of women who are married to Iron Man don't think that way. You know, the husband goes out, that's it. What they do, it's our business.
Yeah.
We're looking to make a programme to go out this coming Tuesday, and we'd like to have some new material.
Mm.
We've got some, obviously, that we haven't used. Is there anything you could point us to that would you think would hurt him further, that he would know we've got right to the heart of things, that nobody else knows and we could expose on television?
Mm.
I mean, we could do what we did last week and put the voice over as an actor.
Mm.
with the information, if we could check it out and verify it and corroborate it.
How do you check out some of the things I would tell you?
Well, if you tell them, we've got our own sources.
Yeah, obviously you have.
And other people who might have known about it.
What Jack's worried about is that there are instances which are specific and only specific to yourself.
Yes.
And that you are identifiable by that.
Yeah.
Obviously that has been the situation with everybody we have talked to. And we have been very careful to make sure that everybody in the program, there was no way that anybody could get back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been very careful on that. What all those people who you talk to, you know, who are anonymous in the program, who were given a pseudonym, we knew were genuine what they were telling us.
Yeah.
But we only took out small bits of very long statements and affidavits from them. So from that point of view,
we already know they've tried checking and they can't find out who these people are.
We're not in the business of getting people shop checked. Right?
Mm.
I mean, that's not what we're after.
Well, you see, things that I would be giving you would be people's lives we'd taken, you see, that's...